what?
You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, tonight you're going to hear some pretty important stuff, especially if you're a member of the Constitution Party. So I want you to pay very close attention. But before we get into that, I want to read you this poem. And I'm not going to tell you who wrote it, because it's going to be published in the next issue of Veritas. It's one of the best that I've seen in a long, long time. And I think that you'll enjoy it probably just as much as I do. And I'm not sure what the... here it is. Here's the name. The name of it is Here I Am... Oh, excuse me. That's wrong. Here Am I, Send Me. So few will choose the narrow road where freedom fighters' blood has flowed in honor's battle episode to summon forth the strength of will to stand. And most will walk the well-worn path to near encounter conflict's wrath, considering not the aftermath as chains are placed about their feet and hands. It's not my problem, most will say. I don't have time to help today. Upon the morrow, perhaps I may consider all your words and theories fine. So who will rush into the breach to extricate from danger's reach, to teach with edifying speech? You, with courageous hearts, must hold the line. And who will say, I'm here, send me, to offer all for liberty, who'd rather die than slavery see within this land so grand and find a place? Beware, if liberty you dream, the cost exacted is extreme, yet still I know, exceed and deem risk's ransom worth sweet freedom's one embrace.
For a ride, well, you know the things.
been running through all these promises to you that I made that I could not keep. But a man never got a woman back, not by begging on your knees. Or I come to you, baby, and I fall at your feet, and I howl at your feet like a dog in heat, and I claw at your heart, and I tear at your feet. I say, please, now you're mine.
The words to that song, ladies and gentlemen, just about describe my life every day, this love affair with Americans. One day it's passionate and wonderful, and the next day you want my head. But I'm your man. The following is the official result of an extensive investigation by the new chairman of the Constitution Party, me, William Cooper, Brian Semper, the secretary, and many others, including members and non-members of the Constitution Party. The investigation was initiated upon complaints by Karen Scarborough that Aaron Russo had mishandled funds, and this investigation was conducted from June 15, 1995, until August 13, 1995, and came to include a whole lot of other things because the complaints of Karen Scarborough escalated exponentially. Unbelievably, in fact. The Constitution Party was founded in 1994 by Aaron Russo. Aaron, folks, was the first president and chairman of the board of directors. And without Mr. Russo, the Constitution Party would not exist. I helped in the formation of the party, promoted the party on my radio program, The Hour of the Time, and in my publication, Veritas. I functioned as the official representative and spokesperson for the party on radio, television, and as a public speaker. I held the official title of president of the national organization entrusted with the supervision of organizing the party in the several states. I attended three weekend meetings in Kansas City on behalf of the party and at my own expense to help form the coalition of third parties and organizations whose goal it is to elect a constitutionally committed president and vice president in the 96 elections. Aaron Russo filed for trademark application for the mark Constitution Party on August 1, 1994. The trademark application, serial number 74/555,891, class number 200, is pending. If he had not applied, it would not matter one single bit, as the ownership of trademark and copyright does not vest in the filing, but in the right of first use. Filing just makes legal challenge easier and less expensive to handle. Over this last weekend, ladies and gentlemen, extensive conversations were held with Mr. Russo in an attempt to clarify the history and the legal status of the party. Mr. Russo recalls filing in the fall of 1994, I originally thought it was early 1995 and stand corrected, with Los Angeles attorney John Howard for nonprofit status with the IRS under the 501c6 provisions of the laws of incorporation. Mr. Howard offered his services pro bono in an effort to help Aaron Russo with the party. John Howard prepared the bylaws of the party, which he gave to Mr. Russo. Mr. Russo remembers that attorney John Howard assured him that the necessary articles had been filed and with the state of California and the Internal Revenue Service. It is Mr. Russo's memory that Mr. Howard informed Mr. Russo that incorporating under the 501c6 clause was predicated upon approval of the IRS and that it could take up to 1 or 2 years to receive such approval. Aaron Russo states that he acted in good faith based upon the advice and services of John Howard. The IRS, to the best of our knowledge, has made no response as of this date. A bank account was opened under the name Constitution Party and then closed by the bank, not by Aaron Russo, because no employer identification number existed at that time. Mr. Russo contacted the Internal Revenue Service, who supplied the 1120 POL of number 95-4519074. The account was reopened and donations were deposited. Same account. Mr. Russo presided over a meeting of the officers and board of directors of the Constitution Party on April 27, 1995. William Cooper was unanimously elected chairman of the board of directors. On April 27, 1995, Aaron Russo tendered to the new chairman, William Cooper, his resignation as chairman of the party and board of directors and from all other offices of the Constitution Party, effective immediately. He did this to concentrate his efforts on his movie production and on the production of a new television program, which should be very successful in supporting our goals, and I mean all of our collective goals. On May 24, 1995, an informal caucus without any board members present was held in Venice, California, during which the new following temporary officers for the Constitution Party of California were elected. This did not conform to the requirements of the bylaws of the Constitution Party, thus the temporary status of those elected. It was the intent that they serve until the new chairman could select a new board of directors consisting of 11 total members in accordance with the bylaws of the Constitution Party, at which time the temporary officers of the party would either be confirmed by vote of the board of directors as the official officers, or new officers would be elected. The board is still in the process of being formed. The Secretary of State of California was notified of this action and of the temporary status of the officers by letter dated May 26, 1995, signed by Jeffrey Turk, past secretary. The temporary officers of the Constitution Party are Paul Winters, president, and Brian Semper, secretary. The vice president and treasurer, who were elected at that meeting as temporary officers, have since resigned. The chairman, me, is looking for suitable candidates to fill these positions. Prior to being elected chairman, William Cooper began to hear from the national director, Karen Scarborough, quote, something is wrong with the funds, end quote. When pressed, she expressed dissatisfaction with the time it took to reimburse her for out-of-pocket expenses on behalf of the party. A phone call to Aaron revealed that she was being sent a check within 2 weeks of submitting her request. Now, anyone who has ever had an expense account will probably agree that she was treated fairly. Her reimbursement checks were sent much faster than the norm found in most organizations or corporations in the nation. After William Cooper was elected chairman, Karen Scarborough accused Aaron Russo of mishandling funds. The accusation could not be allowed to stand unaddressed. Mr. Cooper froze transactions in and out of the party account except for those absolutely necessary to keep the party operating. The chairman began a personal audit to determine if Ms. Scarborough's accusations were true. Mr. Russo was not informed of the audit before or during the audit. The audit covered all funds donated to the party and all expenditures of the party from its inception up to that time, which was the middle of June. Karen Scarborough was asked to temporarily assume the duties of president of the national effort by the chairman, William Cooper. Karen would also continue the duties of national director. She was sent a letter which stated exactly this. And Mr. Cooper had not ever read the bylaws of the Constitution Party, and in fact had never received a copy from the outgoing chairman, Aaron Russo, until the month of June 1995. When the new chairman, in the absence of an official treasurer, obtained control of the bank account in June 1995, the balance was just over $1,200. All donations and receipts received by the party were received by Karen Scarborough and none other. She had been instructed to maintain a full accounting of all monies received and the name and address of the person who donated those funds. During this time, Ms. Scarborough forwarded to Mr. Cooper for deposit a total of just over $1,600. Since deposits were frozen for the ongoing audit, these checks were not deposited. Ms. Scarborough was informed of the audit and of the fact that checks would not be deposited until the audit was complete. It was, in fact, Ms. Scarborough's allegations against Mr. Russo that caused the checks not to be deposited. She then began to complain, again, that checks had not been deposited since April. If you will remember, Mr. Russo resigned in April, and there had been no treasurer for the Constitution Party. Until the time that the bank accounts were transferred over to me, in the interim, until we could locate someone who was qualified and would volunteer to do the work of treasurer, no transactions could take place. Sharon Ford, volunteer Colorado State Coordinator, who was inquiring about becoming treasurer, was also informed of the hold on deposits until the audit was complete. She had full knowledge of exactly what was happening. Ms. Ford was asked to submit a current resume if she wished to be considered for the position of treasurer. She has never submitted a resume, and thus was never considered, and never held any position with the Constitution Party other than volunteer Colorado State Coordinator. I then received a phone call from Colorado State Senator Charles Duke, who asked me why I was withholding funds from Ms. Ford. I assured Mr. Duke that Ms. Ford was not entitled to funds as she was a volunteer state coordinator and was supposed to be collecting funds on a state level to fund the state effort. Mr. Duke then asked me if I was an agent provocateur. I asked him, "Charlie, what are you talking about? This is the Constitution Party. She's a volunteer state coordinator. I've just told you what our obligation is." He then explained to me that she had informed him that she was, in fact, the national director of the Constitutional Party. A blatant lie. I explained to Mr. Duke that the Constitution Party operated through its board of directors and officers, and what I had told him was true. Mr. Duke didn't like that. So I was forced to inform him that being that Mr. Charlie Duke is not an officer of the Constitution Party, he is not a member of the board of directors. In fact, Mr. Charlie Duke is not even a member of the Constitution Party, and thus was out of line, totally, in what he was doing. I informed him that if Ms. Ford had told him that she was the national director of the Constitution Party, that he was being used and manipulated. He didn't like that either. So our telephone conversation was terminated. A total of 3 checks were written on the account of the Constitution Party and signed by William Cooper during this audit. 2 checks were written to Karen Scarborough for reimbursement of expenses she incurred on behalf of the party. It was during these transactions that it was discovered that Ms. Scarborough was not keeping records of contributions and that she had never submitted original receipts for expenses. The chairman informed Ms. Scarborough that no reimbursements would be made in future without original receipts attached to the request as per normal and accepted practice. This held up her first check until she complied. The second check was paid in the usual timely manner. A 3rd check was paid to Ms. Scarborough from the personal account of the chairman's wife because the balance at that time was only $200 and no deposits as yet had been made. After the deposits were made, post-audit, the 3rd check written on the account of the Constitution Party and paid on an outstanding bill owed for a full-page ad in the Philadelphia Observer in the amount of $960, which the new chairman had just received, was paid. This left a balance of about $900, which is still in the books. The bill of $960 for the Philadelphia Observer was not sent to me, William Cooper, until about the 1st of June, at which time it was held in abeyance because of the complaints of Ms. Scarborough. The personal audit conducted by me, Mr. Cooper, disclosed that almost all donations made to the party were sent to Karen Scarborough, who failed to keep records. All of the funds sent by Ms. Scarborough to Aaron Russo were deposited. Most of the money spent from the account went to Karen Scarborough for reimbursement of money she spent on behalf of the party. All other expenditures were for phone, office supplies, postage, travel and lodging of persons conducting party affairs, and advertisement of the party in newspapers and magazines. No hint of any mishandling of funds by Aaron Russo was found to exist. Aaron Russo is innocent of any wrongdoing whatsoever in connection with the funds of the Constitution Party. Karen Scarborough was found remiss in that she did not, to our knowledge, keep records of donations and the persons donating, and to this date has not furnished us with any such record. Only after this determination was made was Aaron Russo notified of the allegations, the audit, and the findings of the audit. Mr. Cooper has expended personal funds in an amount in excess of $6,000 for the party. He has never asked for, nor has he ever taken, nor has he ever been offered reimbursement. Aaron offered on several occasions to pay travel expenses in advance in the form of airline tickets and hotel rooms, and in each instance, William Cooper refused. Mr. Cooper paid for the meeting room in Los Angeles for the first Constitution Party meeting in California. He paid all expenses for his trips to California, Kansas City, and Michigan to conduct and or handle the concerns of the party. He has paid for all of his phone calls made and the post office box in St. John's, Arizona, used on behalf of the Constitution Party. The money paid out of the chairman's wife's personal account to Karen Scarborough cannot be reimbursed because Mr. Cooper will be accused of writing checks to himself. And if you don't believe that, just deal with the public a little while. Somebody will. So we cannot be reimbursed. These incidents caused Mr. Cooper to delve into the bylaws in order to learn and apply the proper leadership to the operations of the party. This study revealed that the bylaws forbid the holding of any office or position on the board by any convicted felon. This was relayed to Karen Scarborough, regrettably, who is a convicted felon. She was irate. We believe that because of all of the above, Karen Scarborough shifted her accusations from Aaron Russo to William Cooper, who had never had any monies or accounts or checkbooks or checks or donations in his possession for the entire time that he belonged to the Constitution Party or held any office in the Constitution Party. Her accusations that the new chairman was mishandling funds was ludicrous. Karen made statements like, quote, "I've caught Cooper mishandling funds," end quote, or, quote, "Aaron Russo paid Cooper to ruin the party," end quote, or, quote, "Cooper is a drunk who likes to fight," end quote, and, quote, "Cooper is going down. He won't be around much longer," end quote. "There's going to be changes at the top." Mr. Cooper received a threat by fax from Scott Scarborough, Karen's husband, another convicted felon, which stated, quote, "A suit is currently being prepared against you for coercion, and a full investigation will be conducted into your past. With a little luck and input from the right people, you may find your butt in prison where it is so obviously belongs for defrauding the Constitution Party and many of your intelligence members," end quote, and, quote, "I am not a nice nor a forgiving man. Keep it up and you will deal with an adversary like you have never known. Wise up, shut up, and get the hell out of our lives," end quote. If William Cooper ends up dead, Scott Scarborough will be a prime suspect. Karen Scarborough was especially irate when the new chairman demanded an account of the receipts she had received and that she remit original receipts with request for reimbursement. She did not like the fact that under the bylaws of the Constitution Party, Ms. Scarborough could not hold any office in the party. Mr. Cooper received a fax from Ms. Scarborough demanding control of the party be turned over to her exclusively, or she and Sharon Ford would resign. The chairman accepted both resignations immediately. And I always do, folks, in my entire history. When anyone has ever presented me with an ultimatum, I have always gone with the ultimatum. In other words, anyone who ever tells me, whether it's dripping with honey or contains lots of daggers, I really don't care. If anyone ever tells me that we have to do this, no matter how nicely they say it, attached to "if we don't," I quit, then you just quit. I accepted both resignations immediately. It's hard to read a report prepared by other people as if you're not involved. So you're going to hear me talking as first person and third person here off and on, because it's all written in the third person. Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford signed and submitted their resignations to Mr. Cooper. I have on file signed resignations from both Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford. Due to these accusations and the fact that a new party cannot survive with any appearance of impropriety, Mr. Cooper tendered his resignation effective July 30, 1995. A fax was sent informing Karen Scarborough of this action. Aaron Russo and several other of the founding members begged him to reconsider. It was also pointed out to him that the bylaws of the Constitution Party forbid Mr. Cooper to resign, as he, at that time, was the only duly elected board member. William Cooper withdrew his resignation until a new board could be formed and officers elected. Karen Scarborough was informed by fax of this action also. Mr. Cooper wishes to find a new treasurer who will cause an independent audit by a disinterested party to be conducted on all donations and expenditures from the beginning of the party until the present time. This would have been Mr. Vince DeNiro, but his situation deteriorated to the point where he and his wife have to move to another location, and he would not be able to devote any time to this effort. So we're still looking. This would give the new board the chance to vote Mr. Cooper a vote of confidence or elect a new chairman, according to the bylaws. This is consistent with the bylaws of the Constitution Party and would not leave the party leaderless at such a crucial time. It is his full intent to tender his resignation after forming a new board, electing new officers, and making sure the party is in good hands and in the condition required by the law and the bylaws of the Constitution Party. Mr. Cooper has given his word to Mr. Russo, the party founder, that he will not leave until this has been accomplished. Now, there's more to this, folks. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this very brief pause.
Change you in power and grief.
ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you, as always, by Swiss America Trading. Now, if you've never held, and believe me, this is very important, because if you've never done it, you haven't the slightest idea what I'm talking about, and you've got to do it. If you've never held a real silver dollar, I don't mean one of these phony silver dollars they got floating around now. I mean a real silver dollar, made with the silver content and the purity and the weight described by law. If you've never held one in your hand, you don't understand money. If you've never held a gold coin, 1 ounce of gold is incredibly heavy. It'll fool you. It doesn't look like it could weigh as much as it does. Important that you do these things. Now, I'm not saying that you go out and buy a gold coin just so that you can see what it feels like. There are coin shops around. There are people you know probably who owns one of these things. Just ask them if you can hold it in your hand so that you'll know what we're talking about when we say that money must be a commodity. It must have substance. It must last for a certain period of time or longer. And it must have an intrinsic value. If it doesn't, it's not money. And it's not money anyway if it doesn't conform to the Constitution and the law of this country. How many of you were aware that the Constitution specifically states that no state shall tender in payment of debt anything other than gold or silver coin? Everyone is in violation of the law. How many of you knew that money is a specific measurement in weight and purity of silver coin? That specific weight and purity, when coined, is called a dollar. So those Federal Reserve notes that you've got in your pocket can no more be a dollar, ladies and gentlemen, than milk can be a pint. Do you understand what I'm talking about? A pint can't be milk, and a Federal Reserve note cannot be a dollar, because it does not represent what the law says it must. Now, someday, this is all going to come home to us. And when it does, if you don't have real money, you're going down the tubes like a torpedo on a grease skid. And when you get to the bottom, you're going to blow yourself to smithereens in poverty. And I don't want that to happen to anyone at all. So, find a friend or go to a coin shop or someplace where they have some of these things that you can hold in your hand and feel, touch, smell, look at. And then when you finally come to your senses, call Swiss America Trading and get some of your own. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And folks, if you read the last issue of Veritas, you should be pretty much educated about these things by now. And if you still haven't done it, it means you don't care. You're fooling yourself and everybody else. 1-800-289-2646. Look around at the people sitting around you, your loved ones. This late at night, that's who should be in your room with you, wherever you're at or whatever room you're in. If you can't look them right in the eye right now and tell them that you have prepared for any economic eventuality, if you cannot do that, then you must make the call. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. A great weight will come off your shoulders, and you'll be so glad that you did. Thank you. If I had a bit of advice to give to somebody just starting out in this world that was looking for something to do, I would tell them, do not ever in your wildest dreams think about serving the public. I continue with the results of the investigation. In the meantime, Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford, unbeknownst to William Cooper, opened an account at First Mountain State Bank, ABA number 302173732, credit Constitution Party, account number 505609. They actually diverted donation checks and cash donated to the Constitution Party, given by people responding to our advertising who thought that they were joining and donating to the real Constitution Party founded by Aaron Russo. It is clear and intentional fraud. Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford, using the Constitution Party name, sent out fundraising letters not informing the recipient that they were not the real Constitution Party founded by Aaron Russo, and the checks and cash contributions were deposited to the above First Mountain State account. It is clear and intentional fraud. They have misappropriated the real Constitution Party confidential membership database and are actively using this database without the consent of the party or its members. Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford have sent letters and faxes across the country claiming an increase in party membership, first of over 7,000 members, and then later over 17,000 members within just a three-week period over what it was on July 19, 1995, when they both tendered their signed resignations. Folks, these are improbable numbers, and it is the belief of me, William Cooper, and the real Constitution Party that these figures are blatant lies. Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford have sent letters and faxes which state that a convention will be held in October and 5,000 rooms, not 1,500 like we originally thought, were reserved for this event. The real Constitution Party, not wishing to become financially liable for any of this, investigated and have not been able to find any convention center, hall, stadium, hotel, or rooms reserved for this convention anywhere in this entire country. California State Senator Don Rogers, Colorado State Senator Charles Duke, and Dennis Weaver were touted as the speakers for this non-existent convention. We contacted Senator Don Rogers, who happens to be a personal friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen, and he stated that he was not invited, was never informed, did not know that his name was being used or touted by these people, and he said that he would not accept if he were invited because, quote, these people have clearly committed fraud and I don't want anything to do with it, end quote. We have not been able to reach Dennis Weaver or Senator Charles Duke. Senator Charles Duke is also touted by Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford as the honorary chairman of the Constitution Party. I wonder what his constituency that elected him in Colorado think about that, because he certainly wasn't on the Constitution Party when he was elected.
Colorado State Senator Charles Duke is not now, ladies and gentlemen, and never has been a member of the Constitution Party, much less our chairman, honorable or otherwise. This was a blatant misrepresentation. And I imagine Charlie Duke will be upset about it also. Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford have claimed that they have received a donation to the Constitution Party of over 900 acres of land in Colorado, given by an organization called Freedom Bound. Now, if you look into the history of Freedom Bound, you might not be too happy about that. But anyway, you wouldn't be too happy, because they have stated that they will move their headquarters to their property. If so, it is a violation of the law regulating the maximum amount in contributions of legal tender or like kind of donations by individuals, companies, corporations, foundations, or groups. Can you imagine what 900 acres of Colorado land is worth? In fact, it is a federal offense. The real Constitution Party rejects and refuses this land donation if, in fact, it has occurred. It's probably like the hotel rooms, non-existent. Just within the past week, it became clear to the chairman, with the help of Brian Semper, party secretary, that the application for 501c6 status may not have been filed by Mr. John Howard. If that is so, the party status is that of political party, and in fact is registered with the state of California as a political party and not a not-for-profit corporation. Mr. Cooper would rather that this be the case. The 501c6 status might prohibit some political actions that are not prohibited by the status of political party. Mr. Semper and William Cooper are pursuing an investigation of the matter. Attorney Howard has been asked to respond with his files concerning this matter, and some of this may have been handled by Harris and Zimmerman, and they are also being interrogatoried. If the corporation was not legally filed with the state of California or with the IRS as a 501c6, but was, in fact, filed as a political party, it was not intentional and was not by design. It is the belief of the current chairman and officers of the party that Aaron Russo acted in good faith and with good intentions based upon the legal advice and the information given him by Mr. John Howard, who is, in fact, the attorney who represented Mr. Russo in these transactions, along with the law firm of Harris Zimmerman. We believe that Aaron sincerely believed that the applications were filed, and we further believe that Aaron Russo was waiting notification by the state of California and the IRS. William Cooper and all other officers acted in good faith that Mr. Russo was telling them the truth of the matter. We also believe that this situation could have been created through some misunderstanding between volunteer attorney John Howard and Aaron Russo. The investigations by Mr. Cooper and Mr. Semper, practicing due diligence in the pursuance of the truth and in their sincere efforts to determine the proper and legal status of the party and its leadership since taking office and the direction for the future, uncovered this possible discrepancy. Despite the accusations of Ms. Scarborough and Ms. Ford, no officer of this party ever represented the status of the party as that of 501c3 or any other than that Aaron Russo had filed through Mr. John Howard for 501c6 corporation and tax status, and that we had never received a determination either by the state or the IRS. Those are the facts of the matter. It is also possible that Mr. Howard did file and that no incorporation could be granted until the determination of status by the IRS is made, as Mr. Russo remembers being told. William Cooper, never having any experience with tax-free or non-taxable or Mr. Cooper, never having any experience with not-for-profit corporations, would not have known what the filing requirements are or how much time this actually would have taken. We will not know until Attorney John Howard responds to our inquiry, which unfortunately leaves this matter unsettled at this time. A clarification will be issued when the truth is revealed at some future date. No crime has been committed here. It's just a matter of what our status is, and we are working on that. I would prefer that it remain as it is, as a political party. The allegations, folks, that Aaron Russo a millionaire several times over would found the Constitution Party to loot the treasury of the small contributions of its members, or that he would pay Mr. Cooper to destroy the party can only be the product of very sick minds. The making of the Constitution Party has cost Mr. Russo and Mr. Cooper much time, effort, and a lot of their own money. It is indeed unfortunate that those who often devote their lives to the service of others are so often injured by those they sincerely try to serve. The Real Constitution Party has received a communication from Karen Scarborough, which acknowledges that she is not able to act as president of the Constitution Party according to the bylaws. She further acknowledges that we are correct in that a trademark for the party name has been applied for, and that Karen Scarborough and Sharon Ford cannot use our mark. She also states that she has resigned from the false Constitution Party headed now by Sharon Ford. The Real Constitution Party thanks Karen Scarborough, and we all wish her only good things in her future endeavors. However, due to the accusations she has made, we cannot at this time withdraw any of our reply contained within the text of this report. Karen Scarborough also states that she has contacted the Attorney General of California regarding these problems, and that the matter has been referred to the Political Fairness Commission in California. With all due respect, the Political Fairness Commission in California has no jurisdiction over this matter whatsoever, as it involves no political process, elections, or anything else whatsoever. However, we welcome any inquiry by anybody, official or unofficial, as they will only substantiate what we have revealed in this release. If we have been remiss, it has been due only to our inexperience in this field of endeavor and our innocence in dealing with new and exasperating problems connected with the political process and the egos of people. The Democratic Party, the Republican Party, and the Libertarian Party have all made many mistakes in their early history and sometimes still make mistakes. It is not reasonable or logical to expect that we will not do the same. We expect our members and the officers of this party, rather than to run off and make a schism in the organization that we have built, to work with us to get through these problems and to make the party better, and so that we can all learn and grow from the experience, and so that we can save this great nation. Because we believe that this party is our only hope. The chairman, William Cooper, and the officers of the Constitution Party extend their sincere thanks to those who stood with us like rocks against the storm. You are the people that made America in the beginning, and you are the ones who will remake America today. In conclusion, and you had better take this very seriously, we hereby put on notice that the name Constitution Party is contained within the above stated application for trademark, and demand that the organization now headed by Sharon Ford cease and desist immediately using the name Constitution Party alone or in combination with any other words to describe her organization. We hereby notice Sharon Ford and her organization that all past use and all current or future use of the name Constitution Party constitutes fraud and may result in civil and or criminal prosecution. Sharon Ford and her organization, calling itself the Constitution Party, are hereby noticed to return any and all property, including copies of property which rightly belongs to the Real Constitution Party, including, but not limited to, databases, mailing lists, membership lists, funds, donations, except for any donation which may be or is illegal under the laws of any state or the United States of America, such as 900 acres of land in the state of Colorado, and any other property rightfully belonging to or donated in good faith to the Real Constitution Party by unsuspecting people who responded to our The real Constitution Party's advertising are male, and we're not told that your false organization was not the Constitution Party founded by Aaron Russo. Sharon Ford and her organization are hereby noticed to close the account which you hold in the name Constitution Party and turn over the real Constitution Party all funds collected in the name of the real Constitution Party, however worded, and the names and addresses of those who contributed those funds so that the real party may inform them of the true nature of their contribution and give those people a choice to join and contribute to the real Constitution Party or receive a 100% refund of their money, which I personally will oversee. We believe that this is the only fair and lawful thing to do under the circumstances. We feel we must remind you that failure to perform all of the above will result in legal action, which may include, but is not limited to, civil and or criminal charges against all persons involved in this attempt to destroy the real Constitution Party and knowingly or unknowingly defraud the public. And this is our promise to our members. And I say this sincerely on behalf of all of the officers, of the founding members, and of the founder, Aaron Russo. We will at all times continue to learn how this process works and apply that knowledge within the restrictions of the bylaws of the Constitution Party and the laws of the several states and the United States of America to further the goals of our members according to the platform of the Constitution. Whenever charges, accusations, or allegations are made, we will, again, as was done in this case, conduct a full and complete investigation. We will be honest about our findings and will disclose fully and completely to the public the results of our investigation. When we are wrong, we will admit we are wrong and do everything within our power to correct each and every discrepancy. I do personally certify that all contained within this report is true and correct to the best of my knowledge, and as the senior officer in this party, chairman of the board of directors, I have affixed my signature to this document. Anyone who wishes to help us rebuild our seriously depleted account may have a copy of this report for $5 post-paid. All monies will go in to the coffers of the Constitution Party. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a member of the Constitution Party, it is not my requirement or anyone else's requirement or requirement of the bylaws that you believe that I'm the greatest guy in the world or that anybody else is. The bylaws outline the procedure for running the party, for electing board of directors and officers of the party, for removing officers, for removing board of directors, members, what the qualifications must be, how the party must be run. These problems sometimes happen, even in businesses, when people who are not executives think they are, and without any training, or without any knowledge, or asking any questions, attempt to solve problems outside of the legal and lawful manner. In nations, that's called insurrection and rebellion. In political parties, it causes havoc, chaos, tremendous destruction, some of which can never be overcome. Anyone who wishes a copy of the bylaws of the Constitution Party, please contact me. I don't know how much it'll cost to reproduce, but we can't give them away for free because we don't have the money to do that. But for the cost of reproduction, with no profit whatsoever and no donation required to the party, we will furnish a copy of the bylaws to any person who wishes. If we're going to make this country work, we must come together, all peoples, all races, all religions. We must understand that our common bond is liberty. We must work together, not against each other. I thank you for your kind attention. Good night, and God bless you all.
Children.